It's your baby boy Prince Rara in the building, and you are listening to CJLO 1690 AM, and this is Know the Culture. Now, this week I'm going to talk about a few different things. I've never really gotten into it. Okay, a couple episodes ago I was kind of talking about, like, you know, the California Exodus and the 2030 agenda and how confused I was regarding that, and like I was kind of like borderline like on conspiracy because I wasn't sure. I didn't know what was going on, but thankfully I have Kai Matlala here from Energy Efficiency out in South Africa, and we have really good chat, and he's so insightful, and he is changing the lives of so many citizens in South Africa, and there's other exciting things that he has got going on, and you will hear all about that in a minute. And just stick on by and hear this perspective and know this culture. Boom. If governments are to avoid a climate catastrophe, renewable and carbon-free power sources will need to replace oil by mid-century. National Geographic. The rush to eliminate carbon footprints is on everybody's lips. More than ever, we are hearing these discussions in governments and in major corporations. It's the scramble to keep global warming under 2 degrees. Microsoft bid to remove all carbon that it has ever emitted since it was founded in 1975. The world is on the cusp of a green economic renaissance that it must embrace, or else face a nightmare future of runaway global warming, according to the HuffPost. According to the Heritage Foundation, a lean right news outlet, they said that under the Obama administration, they had committed to cutting greenhouse gas emissions by 26 to 28%. The Heritage go on to say that there are top 4 reasons that Trump had pulled out of the Paris Accord. One of them being costly and ineffective, harming more than $2.5 trillion in gross domestic products. And number 2 being that the Green Climate Fund would collect $100 billion per year by 2020. And those figures were not met. To me, it actually seems that these two very reasons are why the US would want to stay out of the Paris Accord. And also being that the US is an economical powerhouse. MSN say that through the fund, richer developed nations contribute more money for poorer developing nations to lower emissions and do more to combat climate change. I want to play this video from the World Economic Forum, and this is a speech that Trump had said.
It was a fascinating speech where the president tried to walk a fine line between delivering a message that would play both in Davos, Switzerland, and Dalton, Georgia. He talked about how America was open for business and, of course, brought up tax cuts. He said, I believe in America. America first does not mean America alone. The president also said he supported free trade, but said it must be fair trade, and actually talked about the possibility of re-engaging countries involved with TPP. He also talked about how America had the best colleges in the world, the best workers in the world, and that now was the best time ever to invest in America. He said a nation's greatness is more than the sum of its production. It's the sum of their citizens. And Richard Haass, he ended by saying that we are all stronger when free and stronger when sovereign nations work together. Obviously, Richard, there is much in that speech that many inside that conference might, I won't say take offense at, but might be rankled by. But the overriding message is that America is open for business, our taxes are lower, we have less regulations, and you can make a lot of money by dealing with us. What's your takeaway from that message and from President Trump's speech?
Well, you're right, Joe. It was a bit of a victory lap on the American economy. It was an attempt to basically portray America firstism, really in economic terms.
For the past 8 years, the federal government imposed massive job-killing barriers to American energy development. Since my very first day in office, I have been moving at record pace to cancel these regulations and to eliminate the barriers to domestic energy production like never before. We have nearly 100 years worth of natural gas and more than 250 years worth of clean, beautiful coal. I'm proudly announcing 6 brand new initiatives to propel this new era of American energy dominance. First, we will begin to revive and expand our nuclear energy sector. Second, the Department of the Treasury will address barriers to the financing of highly efficient overseas coal energy plants.
Guess what? We don't have all those regulatory burdens or taxes anymore. He also said something else, Peggy, that I think was important for him to say. And it was this. This was the message. Yes, I'm putting America first, just like leaders of every other country should put their country first. I'm only doing for my country what I would expect you to do for your country.
It's very interesting to see that, because it's almost like one would say that he could be holding on to old policies and also business relationships. And one could also say, but are they damaging to the rest of the world and also for the future of the US?
We are not where we need to be. And so to talk about how well things are going, and I do understand about making it a Chamber of Commerce speech and making it exciting for people to invest in the country, it's important for people who are inside the country who have not felt that level of growth to know that they are not forgotten.
Are these policies out of date? Why is this happening now more than ever? It's all for the bid to keep global warming under 2 degrees. But now how is this going to affect poorer nations? And how do they compete in the global manufacturing sector? Well, according to the Africa Industry Report 4.0, traditional industrial economies expect the fourth industrial revolution to create many competitive advantages and reverse the trend to relocate manufacturing processes to low-cost countries and create new high-tech opportunities at home. They go on to say in the report that they are seeing strong government funding for the Industry 4.0. So if these initiatives need financial backing to lift off, and these governments are signed to the Paris Accord, who fits the bill? 18 African countries are in the top 20 of the world's most poorest countries. So how does Africa now adopt smart technology and also being a team player for the big global push for green by 2030? Between 2019 and 2020, according to Africa Fact Check, there have been a recorded 42,289 rape cases in South Africa. That's an average of 116 rape cases daily. South Africa is rated as having the highest rape cases in the world, and a recent survey was conducted by SAMRC, and they had stated that 1 in 4 men admitted to committing rape. Okay, so how will technology in the future combat crime? Okay, well, we'll find out more about that later on. But right now, you're going to listen to Alex Cloud, Rock the Boat.
I'm You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal, and this is Nota Culture with Prince Rara.
CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.